All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Summit. We are going to be spending time in God's Word today, walking through 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Jermaine Harrison, if we have not met, and I get to serve here on staff with the students team, and it's an honor to get to walk through God's Word this morning with you. Let me pray, and then we'll dive into 1 Peter chapter 4. Lord, we love you. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for a good night's sleep or some sleep last night. And thank you for the energy and the availability and opportunity to be here together to study your word and to be refreshed by other men and to even consider what it looks like to walk with you in a new way or take the next step in our faith. And so we're so grateful. Thank you for this time. Guide us through your word. We love you. Amen. All right. I am going to start with something that has been a controversial piece of clothing item in my life. It is called the Lululemon Everywhere Belt Bag. I didn't purchase it, actually. I got one for my birthday last year. And man, I've gotten all sorts of heat for this. Like, oh, nice purse. Oh, why are you walking around with that bag over your shoulder? Whatever else it might be. And no matter what you might say, no matter what you might think, here's what's true. With this belt bag, I am ready. I have everything I need, and nothing is in my pockets, and I feel amazing. My phone is in here. Man, if I need to get my wallet, it's in here. My car keys are in here. If I need some gum, breath not smelling too great, it's in here. My sunglasses, my headphones, my chapstick because it's cold out. Guys, whatever the circumstance, I got this belt bag with me. I am ready. And I know that's kind of funny to some of y'all, but here's the thing. I know that as men, typically, we're expected to be ready. Whether it's ready for a flight going, you know, out of town where you're up 3 hours early and ready to go to the airport, or ready to protect your home from a burglar or protect your country by going to war, truly like we're experiencing in our world right now, or to protect your home and be ready for inclement weather, like covering the pipes when it's frozen or whatever it is, or ready to for the future, you know, with life insurance or retirement plans or whatever else it might be, or for a car failure. Men are typically expected to be ready for all these different circumstances in life. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter is inviting the church in general, but I think, you know, especially in this moment, men to be ready for a significant challenge that we all will face. Every single one of us will face it. And that challenge is suffering. And so for the church that Peter was writing to in the early first century, suffering meant being accused, being persecuted, being physically in danger or harm because of their faith and trust in Jesus. And so there's that suffering that comes from being a follower of Jesus externally. But there's also suffering in the sense of every single one of us that's a follower of Jesus is going to experience hardship and challenge and difficulty in this life with the purpose of refining you and making you more like Christ and making you more dependent on Him. Or there's a suffering that just comes from the fact that we live in a broken world. And in a broken world, things break and relationships break and tragedy strikes. And so in all of those different aspects of suffering, Peter wants you and I to be ready for them, whatever may come. And so this morning, we're going to spend our time looking at that idea, how to be ready to suffer for Christ. How to be ready to suffer for Christ. And so turn with me, if you have your Bible, to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll look at a couple of verses in there as we observe five habits that Peter illustrates to the church that he was writing to, and by extension to every single one of us in this room. Five habits that will ensure that you and I are always ready to suffer for Christ. Five habits that will ensure that you and I are always ready to suffer for Christ. Number one is this: remember what Christ did for you. If you're going to be ready to experience hardship, to experience suffering, you need to remember what Christ did for you. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1, he starts us off and he says this: therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And so he makes this case, he's building this case, that Christ, when he was here on this earth, fully God and fully man, he experienced suffering. He was rejected. He was mistreated. He was misrepresented. He was killed on a cross. And so Peter is saying, in the same way, you yourself should have that same attitude of willingness to suffer for the truth, to suffer for the gospel. Because, and then he ends at that verse 1 with the phrase, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. That phrase kind of stood out to me. What does he mean, done with sin, right? And I just wrote down here, Christians who embrace suffering have refused to let sin have dominion over them. And so it's not sinless perfection. It's not that you'll never sin again, but it's that sin is in the back burner. Sin is something that happens periodically because we are still broken and we're not home yet and fully perfect. But our main focus is on honoring Christ, and that sin no longer has dominion over us. And people who are prepared to suffer, men who are prepared to suffer, understand that fact. And then in verse 12, Peter says this: dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. I don't think there's any more convicting verse. There's lots of convicting verses in this chapter, but he's like, don't be surprised. Like, this is normal. The normal experience of a follower of Jesus is that there will be suffering and hardship. You know, John 16:33, Jesus himself says that in this world you will have trouble. Like, it's a guarantee. So don't be surprised. But instead of being surprised, he says, rejoice. Man, what does that even look like? To rejoice in the midst of difficulty, hardship, because of your faith or because of the brokenness in this world. He says, rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. I wrote down here a couple of quotes that I saw as I was studying. God often calls those he loves into costly obedience. And we see that so clearly, like even with Jesus, the very Son of God, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed multiple times and he's like, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, right? And so Jesus knew this was a costly thing he was about to experience. And in his 100% humanness, he was like, man, if I cannot go through this, but still bring salvation to the world, I'm in. But God often calls those he loves into costly obedience. The cross was costly for Christ. And another thing I wrote down was that all suffering passes through God's hand. All suffering passes through God's hand. And just that reminder that whatever we endure, because we are faithfully following Jesus, it doesn't come as a surprise to God. And I know in a room this size with men from all walks of life and experience, like, man, you're probably walking into this room at 6:30 on a Thursday morning with some things that are heavy or difficult or challenging in your life. Man, I hope that brings you hope and courage, that none of it takes God by surprise. So remember what Christ has done for you if you want to be ready to experience suffering. It's kind of like most people in here went to high school and had a gym teacher, a PE teacher, right? When I was in high school, I had two different ones over the course of those 4 years. One teacher, he was the one who would tell you what you're supposed to do, show you what you were supposed to do, and then he would be right there with you. I remember being on the basketball team, and he would be running the drills with us. He would show us. He would stop us in the middle of whatever we were doing to encourage us or to give us more direction. He was with us. And then I had another gym teacher who was, you know, sitting on the side. You guys go do this. Here's what's next. He was never involved. And so he was asking us to do something that he wasn't doing himself, at least in that moment. And that made me think about the fact that Christ, when we were being challenged by Scripture to be ready to experience suffering, he's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself, right? He went all the way to the cross, experiencing the greatest of suffering, being separated from God as he bore our sins as he hung on the cross. So if you want to be ready to suffer, remember what Christ did for you. Number two, embrace your convictions. Embrace your convictions. If you want to be ready to suffer for Christ, embrace your convictions. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he kind of addresses the maybe external suffering that you experience because you are a follower of Christ from those who aren't followers of Christ. Here's what it says, verses 2 through 4. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires. That's those who have embraced suffering and are following God, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They, that means those who don't follow Christ, are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. And so what Peter is saying here is that you've got to embrace your convictions because you're going to have lots of reasons, both internally and externally, that are telling you, this isn't worth it. What's the point of following Jesus if you're missing out? What's the point of following Jesus if you're experiencing these difficulties in your work, in your life, with your family, or whatever else it might be? And so your resolve will be tested inwardly, right? For some of you in the room, the inward testing of your resolve to embrace your convictions would be, remember how fun life was when you weren't following God, when you weren't, trying to live out his word? Remember how fun it was with the dudes or whatever else? And for some of you, it might be, man, you've never experienced what that person talked about, or maybe what you heard in that testimony. You've never experienced it. Wouldn't it be fun? And so there's a sense in which our resolve to embrace our convictions and rest in what Christ is calling us to do will be tested, maybe today, inwardly or outwardly, where old friends, or maybe even the culture at large, will be telling you or challenging you, hey, is that the life that you want to live? Is that truly living? Is it truly the abundant life? Or is there something else? Is there something better that you're missing out on? And so you got to be ready for that. You have to be ready to embrace your convictions in those moments. Let's jump down to another part where he kind of challenges us to embrace our convictions in verses 14 through 16. It says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So in other words, Peter is saying to those Christians and to us, like, there's some suffering that we experience in this life, and it is self-inflicted because of our own choices, because of our own selfishness, because of our own pride, our own self-righteousness. We experience hardship or challenges or ridicule. And he's like, don't let that be the reason you suffer. A wise man named Bobby Crotty, a couple months ago in staff prayer, was sharing with us kind of in our staff meeting, kind of his seven secrets to his life. And one of them was this: life is tough. It's tougher when you're stupid. And I remember laughing as you are and writing that down. The reason why we laugh is like, that's so true. Like life already has so many challenges that come. And especially as a follower of Jesus, where we're daily being refined by Christ and his spirit through our experiences and through his word and his spirit and community, like why add to it with our own foolishness and pride and self-righteousness? And so if you want to be ready to experience suffering, embrace your convictions. So you should remember what Christ has done for you. You should embrace your convictions. Thirdly, you should always reflect on the end. Always reflect on the end. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So this is coming on the heels of, hey, there's some people in your life who will be like, why are you changing? Why did you change your lifestyle? This was better. Why did you go to walk with God? And here's what Peter's answer is in verse 5. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. And so Peter's reflection is that when you are persecuted by old friends or non-believers or the culture for the perspective that you have that is biblical or the way that you live your life that honors God, when you're persecuted in that way, reflect on the end. And that honestly, at the end of the day, God will be the righteous judge that judges the whole earth. And every single one of us will have to give an account before him for the way that we live our lives. And so thankfully, as followers of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, you will not be judged for your sins because that judgment already happened. When Jesus hung on the cross and bore your sins on his body, on his life, that judgment for your sin happened. But for those who haven't placed their faith and trust in Jesus, they're basically saying, I want that responsibility of being judged for the way I've lived, right? In fact, in verses 17 and 18, Peter says this, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. In other words, it is time for us to be refined. It is time for us, for our faith to be tested. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18, and if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And so, in essence, suffering will reveal our source of security. It will purify us. And it will prepare us for an inheritance. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have an inheritance with God. He is preparing a place for you. And throughout this life, he's preparing you for that place with the suffering, the challenge, the hardships that you experience and endure. And so for you, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is as bad as it's going to get. If you're thinking through something or if you're heavy-hearted in this moment with some challenge in your life, I want to acknowledge that that's really hard and real, but I also want to encourage you. That's as bad as it's going to be. The hardships that we experience in this life, the promise of Scripture, the promise from the Creator of the universe is that the best is yet to come. Man, that is incredible news. That is incredible hope. That should bring us incredible joy and even help us to endure and persevere through the hardships that we experience. I love the quote in y'all's booklet, kind of at the end of the discussion on 1 Peter 4, where it says this line, the beauty is that the sufferings we face now in this life are the worst things we will ever face because the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has delivered us from future eternal judgment. Man, that is amazing. Highlight that, write that somewhere where you can see it all the time because it's such a great reminder that for the Christian, the best is yet to come. And for the non-believer, this is as good as it gets. Whatever the joys and things that you, if you're not a follower of Jesus, or people that you know who are not following Jesus, that are the joys that they're experiencing now, this is as good as it's going to be. And so, man, what a challenge to always reflect on the end and how it helps us to endure and suffer for Christ. Number four, if you want to be ready to suffer for Christ, you should devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. And this, I find this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, where he says this, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." And like I said, so many convicting verses in this passage. And I was just like, man, Peter is like talking to these Christians and saying, man, Christ is returning soon. And we are sitting, you know, more than 2,000 years after this was written and read in those churches. And what Peter said is even more true right now than it was then, right? Because we are closer. The end of all things is near. So what should you do? You should be alert. You should have a mind that is sober, as in controlled by the Spirit, so that you may pray. And that is just such a challenge that stood out to me as I read, because far too often I neglect the influence and the power of prayer. And that when there are things going on all around me, whether it be, you know, right now, like the war in Ukraine, or the challenges in our country with abortion rights, or whatever else it might be that can be really concerning and move you toward action or move you toward anxiety or concern, like, man, Peter is challenging this church and he's challenging you and I. And what the first most and consistent thing that we should be doing is praying. And so I just like, man, how often is that my first response? That I'm alert and of a sober mind so that I may pray. Because the more I pray, the more I'm reminded that God's in control and that I'm not. And the more I allow myself to be used by him as I'm yielded to his Spirit. What an incredible world we would live in if all of the men in this room and all the men at our church would be marked by prayer. That when people talk about us, they'd be like, man, he loves his wife, or he loves his job, or he loves this sports team, which are all good things, and he loves to pray. Like, imagine that would be like one of the like distinguishing markers of us, right? I think that's what he's challenging, Peter's challenging this church and us to be. So if you want to be ready to suffer for Christ, devote yourself to prayer. And finally, if you want to be ready to suffer for Christ, yield to the Spirit's work through you. If you want to be ready to suffer for Christ, yield to the Spirit's work through you. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. And then verse 19, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And so he's saying and challenging us and inviting us into this idea that whatever you're going through, whatever the hardship that may even cause you to want to be focused inwardly, because it's truly difficult and a challenge, he's saying, man, one of the best things that you can do in response to the suffering in your own life is to put the focus on others and serve them and use your gifts to be a blessing in the lives of others. It's so counterintuitive, right? In the moments where we're tempted to be inwardly focused, that what we should do is yield ourselves to the Spirit to work through us to serve others and to care for them. Many of you, you know, like around here at Watermark, we tell lots of stories or testimonies, right? And usually the ways that we've experienced hardship or challenge or struggle, those are the very experiences or things that shaped us or marked us that God uses to lead and care and serve other people who've experienced a similar thing, right? And so my challenge when I read this was, how do I continually use what God is teaching me to not just be for me or not just focus inwardly, but focus or put the attention on others to serve them? And so he concludes in verse 19 by saying this, man, in light of all that I've said and all of the suffering that you're experiencing or will experience, so then, verse 19, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and do what? And continue to do good. It's a, you know, just a simple, easy to understand instruction. Now, what do I do when I'm experiencing difficulty in life? Entrust yourself to your faithful Creator and continue to do good. And so good questions to ask yourself are, man, who am I serving? Where am I using my gifts? How am I spending my time? And as I look around this room, I know, you know, a lot of the faces out there, it's so encouraging to know that a lot of you guys are using your gifts, are spending your time in a way that honors God, and are yielding yourselves to the Spirit's work through you. But it's always a good reminder and challenge to excel still more, right? So, in conclusion, if you want to be ready, remember what Christ did for you. Embrace your convictions. Always reflect on the end. Devote yourself to prayer. And yield to the Spirit's work through you. And if you do these five things, Peter is confident that you'll be ready to suffer for Christ. And what a privilege it is. It's such a challenging thing to be excited about. Like, let's go. I can't wait to suffer for Christ. Like, no one's really having that that feeling or emotion. But man, as we do that, we are honoring him. We are partnering with him in his suffering. And we're inviting other people to experience the healing, the growth, the joy, the blessing that comes from a life devoted to and committed to following God. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and you're experiencing suffering, and keep going. You're ready. The Spirit of God is at work within you. And who knows how the Lord's going to use the experience, the challenges, the difficulties that you're going through for his glory, for your good, and for the good of those around you. And so I hope you were encouraged by what Peter had to say about being ready to experience suffering. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for these men, and thank you for your word. And thank you that you remind us how we can be ready to suffer for you. Lord, help us, you know, in our human frailty to count it a joy to suffer for you with the hardships, the challenging experiences, the brokenness of our world that we experience. I pray that we would remember what you did for us, that we'd embrace our convictions, that we'd always focus on the end, that we would devote ourselves to prayer, and that we would yield ourselves to your Spirit's work in and through us. And we're so grateful for this morning. Thank you for these men, and help them as they walk throughout this day to honor you and to share your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.